or scan that code on our bulletin with your Zapper app or your SnapScan app, and it'll open up the Bible app on the phone and take you directly to today's reading. Or you can just open up your Bible app and scroll to Romans chapter 12. Let's read it together. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Just that far. You can keep your Bibles open if you want to, because later on I'm going to refer back to the text and even go a bit further on in Romans chapter 12. While serving as a worship pastor for the last 12 years, I've often been asked, when people see my business card, what worship pastoring is all about. And when it's asked, when people are just passing by, my general comment would be, man alive, could you just give me 5 minutes of your time so we can have a cup of coffee? Because most people assume it's all about the music, the bands, the songs we sing, and mostly just about what happens on a Sunday. But there's so much more to it than that. So this morning, and some of you have already grabbed a cup of coffee, let's have that cup of coffee and just chat about what worship is really all about. And I believe this text doesn't just set the platform, but builds the definition of worship for us to its utter core. The Tyndale Dictionary says that worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. Now, that's nice, but it didn't really give me a conclusive and concrete definition of worship. And so let's allow the text this morning to help us discern what worshiping God is all about. As you'll pick up in verse 1 of Romans 12, it starts off with the word therefore, which means for that reason. And in order for us to fully understand the rest of the verses that are to follow, we must stop and ask ourselves the question, for what reason? And the answer to that question is absolutely vital. If we don't understand the reason for the verses to follow, there's a really big chance we will completely miss the application altogether. Would you agree with me that without a solid reason for doing something in this world, we often forget why we're doing it altogether? Hey? Yeah, some nod. You know, some like, what are you talking about? Let's get to that, okay? If we don't fully know and understand why we do or say something, we soon forget why we're doing it. And before we even realize it, we've become completely disillusioned with what we are doing to the extent where we either simply just go through the motions or we stop doing it altogether. Let's look at a very simple example. Do you remember the first time you were asked to make your bed as a child? Some of you? Anybody? Do you remember the reason why you were told to make your bed in the morning? Anybody? Don't remember the reason, hey? Hey? Warwick says, this was the reason. I agree. It was fivefold ministry, you know. One, two, you will make your bed. Okay? How about just brushing your teeth? Hey? Or helping a loved one do the dishes. Who can remember that reason? Hey? Some of us remember those reasons to this day, and I believe it's because there was a time in your life where you came to fully know and understand the reason for whatever you were told to do. And then whatever you were told to do eventually changed into a lifestyle habit. So who still makes their bed in the morning? Yeah, generally. Well, come now. Some of the hands were like, oh, no. Talk nonsense. I've been to your homes. Your bed's always made, hey? Oh, I hope so. Okay. But there was a time in your life where you understood the reason, and that chore became a lifestyle habit. The have to changed into the want to. Hey? Like, I want to have my teeth for the rest of my life, for as long as possible. So I brush my teeth every day, twice a day, for at least 30 seconds. Remember that? You know, the grade one teachers. Thank you, grade one teachers. Like, you guys are awesome. But anyway, let's get back to the therefore, the reason behind Paul's writing of what worship is all about. Because if we understand this reason, it will completely transform, I think, the way we worship God and even live our lives. And we must remember that Paul doesn't write anything in a vacuum. There's always something linked. You know, we read chapters and verses. Back in the day, it was just one long scroll. And Paul has just dedicated 11 chapters to the reason, the therefore of chapter 12. So in a nutshell, in Romans, if you're taking notes, Romans 1 to Romans 3, chapters 1 to 3, God reveals to us that we have all sinned and fall short of His glory. And then towards the end of chapter 3, going into chapters 4 and 5, He reveals to us that we are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then chapters 6 to 8, He teaches us how to now live as new children of God. And then chapters 9 to 11, Paul shares his utter frustration with the Jews, the chosen ones of God, who rejected Jesus and God's mercy. And now, God has given His mercy to Gentiles. So He dedicates 11 chapters to the therefore. And you and I are sitting here today because of the therefore. Because of God's mercy. When the Israelites, when the Jews rejected Jesus, God decided that He would give His mercy to all who believe in Jesus Christ. And in chapter 11, verse 30 and 31, He clearly states it. It reads, "Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against Him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you, so that they too will share in God's mercy." Friends, the big reason, the big therefore is this. God has shown us mercy through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, now because of that, the big therefore, in view of God's mercy to you and to myself, he then writes, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And other translations put it this way, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, in response of God's mercy given to you. It is your reasonable act of worship." It means it's completely reasonable for you and I to give our entire lives to Jesus, because you and I were destined for eternal death. But because of God's mercy, it was given to you. Because Jesus gave His entire life for you so that you and I can enter into eternal life. Because of that, it is completely reasonable for you and I to offer ourselves wholeheartedly, everything that we have, to God in worship. And then the question would be for us is, how do we do that? How do we offer ourselves to God holistically? How do we give God everything as a living sacrifice, as an outward sign of how grateful and thankful we are because we have received God's mercy? So what does that look like? And as we unpack the practical part of this text, which goes on in Romans chapter 12 from verse 3 onwards, I need to just remind ourselves that this is a day-to-day thing. Our worship happens between Sundays. We often think we only come to worship God on a Sunday. But when we look at these practical applications, it has very little, if not nothing, to do with what happens on a Sunday. The therefore happens on a Sunday. We come here on a Sunday to worship God, to be reminded of who God is, of what He has done, and what He expects us to go and do for the rest of the week. And every week we come back and we do the same thing again and again, because we often forget the reason. We often forget the therefore. We try and do all the other stuff, but often we forget why. And I think that is why God has put this in here. So let's look at this quickly. What does worship look like between Sundays? How do we worship God and live according to His will in our lives in such a way that is indeed holy and pleasing unto Him? Our text says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says, this is how we worship God in a holy and pleasing way every day. By firstly allowing God to transform the way we think. It starts here. It starts here, he says. You and I can do all that we can to not copy the customs of this world that are so selfish and often corrupting. But we know from personal experience, don't we, that when we put up those New Year's resolutions, those to-do lists, we often get reminded, maybe if we put it on the fridge, in big highlights and flashy colored lights. Don't worry, my fridge doesn't look like that, but you know, we often forget those New Year's resolutions. But when we transform the way we think, it normally changes our entire lifestyle in a very practical way. If we change the way we think about fast food, and we realize that it's fast food, it's fast in and fast on. Hey? It's fast in and fast on. If we change the way we think about fast food, we might stop eating fast food altogether and rather go for slow food. Hey? That take a really long time to... But then we can work it off. But it will change our lifestyles. So let's look at how we change our minds in terms of the worship of God through this text this morning. Paul says, yes, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Be different, be holy, set apart from them. And the only way to do this is to allow God's Holy Spirit to transform our minds. How do you think He will do that? How do we allow God daily to transform our lives? And I want you to think about Monday to Saturday. And this is interactive. I want some answers that we can put on the recording and put out there so the whole world can hear how good people you are. Come on. What do you do Monday to Saturday to allow God to transform the way you think? Yes, Yuan.
Read your Bible.
Thank you. Hey, read your Bible. Pray every day. Hey, I'm going to ask the Sunday school to come in here and just teach us the song. Hey, read your Bible, pray every day. We do so, yes, by reading our Bibles and praying every day, because the Word of God will inform us about what God longs for us to do on a day-to-day basis. If we only come here on Sunday, I know that I'm very passionate about this sermon and we've spent a lot of time preparing it, but I know that by Wednesday you've completely forgotten what I said. And that's okay. That's why we put it on the website so you can download it and listen to it again. But we know that if you're only going to live from Sunday to Sunday, by Wednesday you would have forgotten. And if we do not spend every day in God's Word, and we don't allow God to remind us daily through His Word, our minds will never be transformed. For 6 days a week, we're getting all this info from the world. Do this, do that, do this. And then we come here for one day, for 20 minutes. And we go, okay, inform me. And then we try. Hey, we get to Wednesday, and we forget. If we allow God's Spirit to speak to us every day through His Word, you would come here on a Sunday and go, I just want to tell everybody how awesome God was this week and what he told me. And maybe you guys can come up here and preach. And yeah, no, I'm joking. Okay. But you get this. We need to be transformed every single day, not just on a Sunday. And that transformation takes place when we wake up in the morning, we die to our own will. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. You wake up in the morning, you die to your own will. Yes, I want to sleep in just 5 more minutes. After James woke up so many times last night. This morning was tough. But I got up at 5 and okay, Lord. And with technology, it's fantastic. You open the app and play the video. Wake up. Play the video and then go and read, because then I'm awake after a whole cup of coffee. But I need to spend time in God's Word. I need to allow God's Word to transform the way I think. And it comes down to quality time. I know we want to spend quantity time with the Lord and hours, but the Lord knows that we don't have hours and hours. But He just wants quality time. Just like when you're spending quality time with a loved one or a friend. Eventually, the way they laugh becomes the way you laugh. Eventually, the way they think becomes the way you think, speak, and act. The couples here know exactly what I'm talking about. Hey? Yeah. You're like nudging each other and go, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. The same applies with our relationship with God. If we allow daily just a bit of quality time with God, His Word will start informing us of who Jesus is, how Jesus thinks, how He acts, and how He wants us to worship God. And eventually, it'll become second nature. Eventually, we will act, walk, and talk just like Jesus. And then, the fulfillment of this text will happen in our lives, where it's easy for us not to conform to the standards and the patterns of this world because we've allowed Christ to increase and the world's influence to decrease by the amount of quality time we're spending with the Lord every day. When we allow the Holy Spirit to renew, re-educate, and redirect our minds through the reading, studying, remembering, and applying of God's Word, we are truly transformed. We are truly transformed. Friends, if we read on in chapter 12 from verse 3 onwards, the first portion of this section focuses on how we love each other as followers of Christ. We're getting this straight from the Word of God. I'm not giving you a to-do list anywhere else. This chapter tells you about God's grace and His mercy, the therefore, the reason for your worship. This chapter also says, hey, let God transform the way you think. And then you ask the question, how? What? What do I need to do? Verse 3 onwards. Love each other. May there be unity amongst Christians by encouraging an attitude of humility and respect for each other, particularly in the terms and the use of the spiritual gifts God has given us. Friends, what other churches do is awesome, because people are worshiping God there too. This text is teaching us to love them and love their expression of the Holy Spirit's gifts and be in unity with them because of our love for Jesus. So practically, let's start doing that. Let God transform our minds by the way we think of other churches. Just go, hey, you guys rock with your flags and stuff. That's awesome, but that's not for me. That's okay. Let's celebrate how they worship God and allow them to do the same for us. Because when others see our love for one another, our unity and our respect, they go, those Christians don't even go to the same church and they love each other. How awesome is that? In so doing, we have allowed God's Spirit to transform our minds. And those who don't know Jesus will see our good works and give glory to God. So let us do that, friends. Then it goes a bit further on, and it gets a bit more personal. From verses 9 to 21, Paul touches on the various forms of worshiping God that is good, pleasing, and His perfect will, and what that looks like in our everyday lives. I'm just going to read them out loud. They're very self-explanatory. It's really not rocket science. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Verse 10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Do not curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Just a couple of verses could transform this world. Love each other. Hey? Love each other. And then Paul realizes, well, we as Christians, we're okay with doing this with each other, hey? Being patient, be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep. But he even puts a bit in there for those who aren't Christians, how we should treat them. Verse 17 and onwards, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And then he leaves us with this last thought. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. One chapter can really transform this world if we remember why we are called to do this. In view of God's mercy, offer your entire lives to Jesus as a reasonable act in gratitude for what you have received. And then how do we do that? With about 17 verses of detailed instructions of how we allow God to transform our minds. Hey, praying for your enemies. Give them something to drink. Cut their grass. Now, that was 2 weeks ago, hey? Yeah. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our minds to this extent, where what we have just read becomes second nature for us, our lifestyles will indeed be holy. It'll indeed be set apart from the rest of the world and be so pleasing to God that there's a possibility that we could fulfill Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. In conclusion this morning, friends, what is worshiping God all about? Firstly, we need to remember why we do it. We do it out of our thankfulness of our hearts for the gift of Jesus Christ and His mercy that has reached us, those who aren't Jews. The fact that He would be willing to give us His mercy and grace to all who believe. And because we have been given this grace and mercy of Jesus, He asks us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Which is completely reasonable because He has offered Himself to us fully, freely. And then, as we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, allow Him to transform your mind by doing what, Wim Johan? Reading your Bible, pray every day. Reading verses 3 to 21 every day, going, God, transform the way I think because I want to clap my enemy. But you tell me to love them. You tell me to burn down, I want to burn down their grass. You tell me to cut it. Let us follow God's Spirit's guidance from verses 3 to 21, and we will indeed transform this world one person, one soul, one day, one moment at a time. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we pray this morning that you would allow Romans 12 to really sink into our hearts this week. Remind us daily, Lord, of the amazing gift of Jesus Christ that we have received. The gift of salvation. And that because of the mercy that we have received from you, Lord, that you challenge us daily to offer our lives to you. By surrendering to your will as we read your word and pray every day. Oh Jesus, our prayer this morning is that you would increase, you would become more evident in our lives. So that whatever we do in word or in deed, it will be done in your name and to the glory of God. And where others see our good works, where they see how we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, that they would see those good works and give glory to you, Heavenly Father. Help us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.